Recording? Okay. So we left off last week. We were discussing the question, very important to contemporary Shaila, in terms of opening cans on Shabbos. So this has been a raging issue already for quite some time. Days back already from the days of the Chazanish, when cans started to become popular. So what's the status of opening the cans on Shabbos? So we analyzed the sugya last week. The eyes of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe basically had two big breakthroughs in the sugya of opening cans. Rav Moshe claimed that the potential malacha involved was actually not the malacha of bone, it was actually the malacha of soser, because Rav Moshe understood that a can is functioning the way it is, and that when you're opening it and breaking it, so you're destroying it, that is a potential malacha of soser. Rav Moshe said, how should we paskin on a shalosh soser? Moshe said, well, according to some Rishonim, ain't steer bekalim. So according to some Rishonim, it's completely permissible. Whereas according to other Rishonim, ain't steer bekalim only applies to a very, very shvach kind of kalim that fall apart by themselves. So then it wouldn't be covered by the kula of ain't steer bekalim. So according to Rav Moshe from last week, we're just recapping from last week. So Rav Moshe came to the conclusion that if it would just be an issue, is this steer, not steer, these kind of kalim, he wouldn't be so quick to be making. Then Rav Moshe had another chiddush. Rav Moshe had another big breakthrough in the sugya. Rav Moshe said that our cans are the halacha equivalent of what the Gemara calls chosolos. Chosolos were special baskets that were made of lulav leaves, palm tree leaves, and they were made only for the purpose of storing that food. And as soon as you would open it up, so you would throw those leaves into the garbage, would be completely discarded. So Rav Moshe says, when you have a kli that doesn't really have any entity to itself, its whole purpose is just to protect this particular food. And it doesn't have to the food. It's not considered to be. And it's not considered to be a kli altogether. So again, according to Rav Moshe, the malach involved is soser, but practically Rav Moshe says he doesn't really think soser applies because the kli was never really a halachic kli in and of itself. So just parenthetically, that idea that Rav Moshe developed, that when you have a kli, that the whole purpose of the kli is just to protect a food, but it's not really, it doesn't have really, that could be an important Hilchos Shabbos. That could have an important ramifications for Hilchos Tefilas Kelim as well. And in fact, Rav Moshe L'Shitoso had a big breakthrough also in Hilchos Tefilas Kelim based on that Yisod. So Rav Moshe held that, let's say you have a Snapple bottle. A person buys a Snapple, drinks from it. In the old days when there were glass bottles, not the plastic bottles, things are better. But not that long ago when there were glass bottles. So if you buy a Snapple bottle, you empty it out, you drink your Snapple, and then you want to refill it. You want to refill it with water, you want to refill it with another juice, you want to refill it with someone, take it with you. So are you allowed to do that? Maybe that kli is chayav in tefillas kelim. So a lot of poskim said it's a problem to refill the Snapple bottle would be a problem. Say to refill a grape juice bottle, so that would be a problem. So Rav Moshe said no, he doesn't think it's a problem. You know why it's not a problem? Because when the Snapple bottle was made, it was made to protect the Snapple. That was the goal. It was never really a kli. It was just bottled to the food, bottled to the drink. But when does it become a kli? When you decide to start using it over and over and over again. That's what transforms it to being a kli. So when that transformation occurs, that's Bishus HaYisrael. That kli belongs to a Jew. A kli is only obligated in Tevilah if it was owned by a non-Jew, either it was made by a non-Jew or owned by a non-Jew when it was already a kli. But here, it wasn't owned by a non-Jew after it became a kli. It didn't become a kli until I decided as a Jew to reuse it, to put more juice into it. So Rav Moshe argued, maybe such a kli would be parted from Tevilah. So that idea that Rav Moshe has, when you have a kli that doesn't have any really significance to itself, it's just bottle of mevutal to the food of the drink inside it, that can impact the Shabbos as well as impact Hilchos Tefilas Kelim. But notwithstanding Rav Moshe, we spent most of the time last week shiur on, Rav Moshe's whole thrust in the sugya of opening cans is that we're looking at it from the vantage point of Malachas of Soser. So the Chazon Ish had the exact opposite approach. Chazon Ish understood that a can, in the state that it's in right now, it's just a piece of junk, it's a piece of metal. I can't do anything with it. It has tuna fish, it has sardines inside it, but the mice, I can't use it for anything. What happens when I open a can? So unlike Rav Moshe said, when you open a can, you're breaking the can. For a can, the opposite is true. Chazon Ish said, when you open a can, you're building a can, you're making a kli. Now you're making it a perfectly usable kli. Until it was open, what can you do with it? Now that it's open, so now it's great. Now I can store things in it. I can take the tuna fish out, wash it out, and keep my spare change in it, my little items into it. So it can be used as a storage kli. So the Chazanish says, that's a huge problem. It's a problem of bonet. But we have a rule of ain binyan b'kelim. Chazanish says, no. That's a throwback from last week. The Chazanish said that ain binyan b'kelim doesn't apply when you osek kli mechadash. Remember, we spoke about this last week. The Gemara says in Shabbos, when you make a shovel, if you take a piece of metal and you take a piece of wood and you connect them together, so the Gemara says that's called bona in Shabbos. All the Rishonim about it. Why is that called bona? What kind of bona in binyan b'kelim? So that's what the Ban and the Ran said. No. That's not called in binyan b'kelim. That's called bona kli. You made a kli. You built the kli. You took the pieces of junk. You took pieces of scrap material and you made it into a kli. In the chabayin b'kelim is that. That's what the Chazanish said. You took a piece of junk, it's called a piece of metal. You took a heap of metal and you turned it into a functioning kli that you can store things in now. That's called bein and Shabbos. That would be an issue there, I said. So Chazanish bumped a curveball at us. And we're not looking at opening cans with the eyes of Seis, we're looking at it through the eyes of Bonet. That's a huge, huge problem, according to the Chazanish, the opening of cans. Now, the truth to be told is that one could suggest maybe the Chazanish was only talking about a situation where a person is actually planning on reusing that can. So that would be the Chazanish himself references the fact that it was common. Again, the Chazanish was back in the 30s, the 40s. The Chazanish was talking about a different world. So the Chazanish writes that it was common in his day that people would open up a can, they'd empty it out the sardine, and I hope they would wash the can out first. And then they would use it to store needles in it, to store bobby pins in it, to store change in it. The Chazanish says if you're planning on using the kli to store things, what would the Chazanish say about today? I don't remember the last time that I saw anybody take out tuna fish out of a can, wash it out, and use it to store things in it. So maybe you could argue that it's not really b'ayna b'chlal, b'zman hazeh. So this gets a little bit tricky because this may be almost like a segregation bonus. But even though I'm not really intending on using this kli, but lemais, I'm creating a kli, whether I like it or not, by my opening up the can, according to the worldview of the Chazanish, I am being bona something. So I'm not planning on being bona something, but it's a segregation I'm being bona it. So maybe that would be a problem. But this is a big, big question about malachas to as far as obsegration. It's a big machlekes. Hopefully we'll talk about this when we get to malachas machbe patish. But it could be that these malachas, like a siyas akli, like a machbe patish, these kinds of malachas may require a real formal das adam to determine whether something was actually made. So that may require a real significant intent of a person. And maybe obsegration may not suffice. That's already a loaded svara. Hopefully we'll have to talk about that a little bit later on. So it comes out according to the Chazanish, if you open up a can and you plan on reusing the can, that's a huge, huge problem. If you're not planning on reusing the can and you throw it to the garbage, that's machlokes. What exactly Chazanish would say about that? So that's why many poskim, including Shmuel Shabbos, write that if you want to open up a can on Shabbos, for Shabbos was an Eretz Yisrael, because he was mushroom for the Chazanish. So the Shmuel Shabbos writes, if you want to open up a can on Shabbos, so the best way to do it is that you should totally destroy the can in the process. But if you completely destroy the can in the process, then you weren't burning it. So that svara of completely destroying the can, that's a very chazanishtik svara. According to Ramosha, that doesn't make any difference. According to Ramosha, the issue is soysev. So the more you soysev, the worse off you are. So the Shmir Shabbos is writing there to Israel. He's very, very much in the mindset of the chazanish. So Lefinius daiti, that if a person, again, lichat chil, even Ramosha agrees, you should open up all your cans before Shabbos. If a person has to open up a can before Shabbos, I think the following eights would probably be a good idea, that they should try to open up in a way that it really, really destroys the can in the process. And then Mamon of Shach, it's probably okay. According to Ramosha from last week, it's probably mutter anyway, because it's just so sarah, and it could be ain't so sarah b'kelim. And the Eidya Shalom, it's like the palm baskets, like the chasolos. According to Ramosha, we have a few tzedadim to be made on opening of cans. And even according to the Chazanish, who would not buy into those kulos, but he would accept that if the can is destroyed in the process, it's never really going to be bonus. I think that you covered all bases. If you really get stuck and you have to open a can, you should try to open up the can in a way that completely destroys the can.
Rabbi, would a compromise for the Chazanish be if you didn't open it up completely So it wasn't, and it has the sharp metal cover to it. So therefore,
it's not really usable anymore. I mean, that's not so usable. Maybe that would be a kli that you wouldn't really use. Maybe that would be like almost like destroying it totally, perhaps. But this shali comes up very often. I don't know. We don't have as many can opening shalas on Shabbos as opening bags on Shabbos, opening boxes on Shabbos. On the chora, everything we've been talking about should probably carry over to opening up a bag of potato chips, opening up a bag of popcorn, opening up a box of matzahs. Any of these kinds of things also run into the potential shaila. Are we talking bona? Are we talking soser? So if we're talking bona, like the Chazon Ish, then any time we want to open up anything, we should really, really try to go out of our way to destroy it entirely. That's why the chetchila, if a person realizes setting up for the tish for a night, they realize they've got to open up the popcorn. So they should open up the popcorn in such a way that completely destroys the bag. Rip it open, get all the popcorn out at once, preferably not all over the floor, and then just throw the bag out. If you open up the popcorn bag and you leave some of the popcorn behind in the bag, that could be a big problem. Because according to the Chazon Ish, that's like using the kli. And any time that you're creating the usage of a kli, that poses a very, very significant problem. Yeah, I didn't say it's also Chodesh or Mashal, but that would probably be Mutamikra. But according to the Chazon Ish, to open up a popcorn bag and then kind of munch out of the popcorn bag, open up the bag of potato chips, kind of munch out of the bag, that's a big problem. That's you're constantly using the clay that you just created. So according to Chazon Ish, there could be a potential shava deraisa. So I think the ones you try to be careful with any and every kinds of openings, you try to do all these things lechatchila beforehand. But any of these kinds of openings, you should really be done in a way that totally destroys it.
They also have bags. They have new bags now that they have like a Ziploc designed in them. Is that even worse? Because those are almost designed lechatchila to be opened and closed. Like the bag is like a bag, but it has resealable. Does that make it even worse? Because when you open it, you know you're going to reuse it. It has the built-in.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would be mad to those either. I think that we should try to.
I'm saying some of that would be worse, even, right? That's for sure.
Yeah, I think so. I think it could be actually worse, maybe.
Can you just open it and just throw it away?
And that's a further shaila. That's what we mentioned before. Koyd Chazinish. If I open it and I'm not going to use it, on the other hand, it is usable. So some wanted to ask that after like a psik ratio. It's like a psik ratio of a CS Kli. Another is a question. That's a Shabbos quotes that as like tier two. He says like the best thing to do is to open it entirely and destroy it and like I'm relaxed, stack and barrel. Because if for whatever reason you can't do that, so at least empty the contents and throw the bag out. And then the worst case scenario for the Chazon Ish is the mamash continue to use the bag. That would be the worst scenario.
I'm a little confused. So let's say you open the bag and you're eating from the bag. Is it also while you're eating it?
I wouldn't do that. I would, if I have to open the bag, I would take everything out of the bag, put it into a plastic bag and throw the bag into the garbage.
So these little bags that they make for children, you know, they don't make any big, now they make little bags where, you know, kids can get the little bags. So that's those little bags now, you know,
exactly, what I'm talking about. I've been supporting the snack bags for the last 20 years. So they're all relying on Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe held that none of these things are kalim. Rav Moshe held it's all bottled to the food. They're relying on Rav Moshe. There is a possible tzad to say that maybe there's no bona on bags. Some are such a svar that maybe bona only applies to like sturdy kinds of materials like that, to a can. Maybe the whole malach of bona doesn't make any sense in terms of bags. That would be another little sniffle hokel. Those kids that eat in that way, they're probably relying on that. They're relying on Ramesh and they're relying on that svar as well. I can't answer for all the Eretz Yisrael took a snack bag and have an ashkach and the badats in them. I don't know, did they sand them doing an open on Shabbos in Yantav? I don't know. Maybe they're all assuming I was going to open them beforehand. Just their chagah, whatever we're talking about, Shabbos is probably true for Yantav also, because these are things that wouldn't meet the criteria, even though they're food, but they're not really Yechel Nefesh. It was called Machshiri Yechel Nefesh. They're preparatory things, and the preparatory things that could have been done from beforehand. So Machshiri Yechel Nefesh, Efshel Lasos, Bibiyod Yom, or for sure, Rosh on Yantav as well. But just because it's Yantav is not gonna solve this problem. One should remember, if one's opening up a bag and packages and boxes in such a way that's totally destroying it, so sometimes you run into another problem. That was this problem a couple of weeks ago. You're going to rip through some of the letters. So if you inevitably, when you open up your big bag of Wise potato chips, you're going to rip through a picture or a letter or something. So in the greater scheme of things, they're ripping through the letters. We already spoke about in the past. It's probably not the most chomer thing in the world. Ramah said not to do it, but the question that it's not so poshut, that's also rolled together. So if you're really, really stuck, and it's a question of ripping possibly through a letter by mistake or leaving the bag intact, I would probably err on the side of by mistake you cut through a letter, it's probably not the end of the world. The cutting through the letters is a really, really big chumrah. Whereas keeping the bag intact and usable, according to the Chazon Ish, is a very, very serious potential problem. Everything we've been talking about is only talking about cans and boxes and bags, things of that nature. I didn't say a word yet about opening up soda cans, which are different because they create a spout, they create a usable hole. We didn't speak at all about opening bottles. So I'm specifically not talking about that because that's more of a makmatafish issue, which we still didn't get to. It's down the line, not that far down the line, but a little bit down the line. So right now we're going to just keep ourselves to the bone inside. So this is so that we've developed in the last 2 weeks that even though as a starting point, ain't been in Bekalim, but Asiyas Kli Mechadosh is a potential, very, very serious problem. According to most Rishonim, Asiyas Kli Mechadosh would be a problem of Bonim in a Torah. This is the background for another very famous Pesach of the Chaznish. The two most famous Pesach of the Chaznish in the Sigs of Bona. One was the cans are a Bona problem, and the other one is the Chaznish's approach to electricity. So Yadua, before some, that when electricity, just been around for the Shesh Migrations, but when people figured out how to use electricity to make the light bulbs and devices, so there was the whole tumult in the post-kib as to what malach exactly, what is there electricity falls onto. So it was always assumed in Europe when the issue originally was raised that the turning on light bulbs always constituted an issur deraisa because the causing a piece of metal filament to glow, so we assumed that's because of Havar and Kibui, and we'll see whether even that's questionable exactly whether Havar actually applies to the filament itself. But again, but that was Nimna Vagam, all the Dalia Polska in Europe all assumed that turning on electric bulbs is an Isagama Minatora. What was a little bit less clear was other kinds of appliances and devices that don't involve lights. Let's say you turn a fan, turn a vacuum, and other things that not necessarily lights on. So what malacha would that fall under? What is it would that fall under? So there was a very famous psach of the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish wrote that he thinks that it would fall under the malacha of bona. Mustafa bona has the malacha of bona. So this is the Chazon Ish whole theory about bona on kalim, following the Rishonim that say that when you have a worthless piece of junk that can't do anything, and you do something to transform it into a functioning clay, so that is an asiyas kli mechadosh, and that's an issur deraisa bona. So the Chaznish writes, when I have a fan, so the fan is not plugged in, it's not turned on. What am I going to do with it? Bang my head with it. What am I going to do with it? It's a piece of junk. It's a piece of metal and plastic junk that's absolutely worthless. What gives it koiches to it? What gives it an umfa? Gives it a life? It's amazing when you breathe into it, when you put in the current, you plug it into the wall, you turn on the switch, and the current starts going. All of a sudden, the blades of the fan start moving. All of a sudden, the vacuum starts working. All of a sudden, everything starts being a very, very functioning, usable clay. Says the Chaznish, that action of taking something that was worthless and had absolutely no purpose and making it into a functionable utensil, that is called a asiyas kli mechadosh. And that is a shaila b'nei deraisa. So the Chaznish said that the mere turning on of an electric device will be bona deraisa. Then the Chaznish said that it's even worse than a asiyas kli. Says the Chaznish that since the kli is plugged into the wall, so we have a rule called mechuba karkas kekarka. So on karka, for sure there's bona. The original malacha is on karka. If you build a house, for sure that's called bona. We've been pulling for the last 2 weeks, but there's also bona on a asiyas kli, but a asiyas karka, of course. That's bona. That's sure. Im chabona kol mizeh. It says the Chaznish Ish. When you have a device that's plugged into the wall, so then it's dinuk karka, and you're fixing the wall. It's like adding a. It's like connecting a door to the door frame. You're it's like building a building part of the wall. So you're building a functionable device that's part of the karka. It's chabona karka. Im chabona kol mizeh. So the emphasis is that the Chaznish Ish really thought that both reasons are correct. He thought that even if the electric device is not called mechubal karka, it's still a problem. Let's say, Lamosha, it's a battery device. So Chaznish said that just connecting the circuit and just turning on the battery, turning on on the on button on something that's even powered by a battery would be a deraisa because of osikli mechadosh. Then the chadish to one for yeses ace that if it's connected to the wall, that's even worse because then it's considered to be mechub lekarka. It's considered to be bone and mamish. It's interesting, just as an aside, this svar that the chazanish is saying that something that's plugged into the wall is considered to be a karka. He didn't even need it, the chazanish, because he already asked it based on osikli mechadosh. But he's saying at liyeses ace that it's also considered to be karka. So that's a big question. That's far from muskum. Something that's simply connected with a plug into the wall, that's called mechub lekarka. We usually think mechub lekarka means like a house is mechub lekarka. There's a foundation, it's cemented in, and it's mamish connected a little bit. But you have a telephone pole that's drilled into the ground, it's mamish connected, it's dug into the ground, that's called mechub lekarka. You have my computer that's plugged into the wall, I take it in, take it out, take it in, take it out, that's called mechub lekarka. That's a big bichidish, that's the chadnish says. And again, he doesn't need it because he already said it's usur, even if it's just a battery operated thing, because it's basically mechadish. But as an added problem, he says that it's considered to be mechub lekarka. Why is that nekuda important? What's the difference? So nuch shab is probably not so important, but it can have impact in other areas of halacha. So there was a fascinating psak that was given by one of the gedolim in Europe right after the war, by Dayan Breisch, Yaakov Breisch, Shalz Achubas, Chalkas Yaakov. He was a rav in Switzerland right after the war. So Dayan Breisch had a Chiddush Gadol Hilchos Tevilas Kelim. He suggested that any kli that's plugged into the wall, any electric kli, is potter from Tevilas Kelim. Why is it potter from Tevilas Kelim? Because it's not a kli, because it's karka, and it wouldn't be mekabel tuma. That the din is that a davar mechub lekarka can't be mekabel tuma. This is considered to be mechub lekarka. What does Atfilas Kalim have to do with Tumah V'Tahara? Atfilas Kalim is not for Tumah V'Tahara. When I go to the mikveh and I table something, it's still Tumah V'Smeis. That's not the mitzvah Atfilas Kalim. Atfilas Kalim is when you ever buy a kli from a guy. So there's a mitzvah either there. I said there. Rabbanan, the Mishnah says you have to do Atfilas Kalim. That's nothing to do with Tumah V'Tahara. So why should Tumah V'Tahara play a role? So this is already an old question in Poskim. There are some Poskim who say, Rabbi, she also helped us the way that even though the mitzvah Atfilas Kalim today has nothing to do with Tumah V'Tahara, but the Torah only gave the mitzvah tefillas kelim on kelim that have tahara b'mikvah, something that tumah v'tahara doesn't speak to them. If you have a kli that's not shayach to mekabel tumah, so then even if it's made out of metal, it was made by a goy, and now it's owned by a Jew, it's food, it's all the trappings of tefillas kelim, but there will not be a mitzvah tefillas kelim if it's something that doesn't have the ability to be mekabel tumah. That's where Moshe had the famous psach. Moshe said disposable kelim are a potter from Tfilas Kalim, if you say disposable aluminum tin or something, it's from Tfilas Kalim. The only reason why Ramesha spoke about the Snapple bottles a few minutes ago was because the Snapple bottle is not really disposable. It's not really most people don't bother saving the Snapple bottles, but it could be saved. And you have a turkey tin, so you use it once, twice maximum, and you have to throw it out. It's disgusting. So we have a kli that's made just to be thrown out, just for temporary use. So that kli is potter from Tfilas Kalim. If you have a real kli that you chose to use once, that's still chayav in Tfilas Kalim. Let's say I have a knife, and I decide I'm only going to use the knife one time. I'm only going to use the cup one time. That's not a potter from Tfilas Kalim. That's a misconception. A lot of people that there's this rumor floating around that says that if you have a kli that wasn't tayveled, you could use it once and it's okay. Use it once and it's okay. It's like saying, well, I can eat chaza once and it's okay. You can't eat it once and it's okay. You can't use the kli once and it's okay. What it means is that if you have a kli that's made not to be used more than once, if you have a disposable kind of a kli, so that's not considered to be a kli for the purposes of Tumah V'Tahara. So Moshe's chiddush is that it's not called a kli for the purposes of Tumah V'Tahara, therefore it's not called a kli for the purposes of Tfilas Kalim as well. Tfilas Kalim, although it's not for Tumah V'Tahara, it follows the guidelines of Tumah V'Tahara. That's where Dayan Breisch said the same thing. If you have a kli that's mechub lekarka, just as a davar mechub lekarka is not mekabel tumah, so too would it be chayav in Tfilas Kalim. And then he went one step further and he said that any electric kli is considered to be mechub lekarka. So many poskim, probably all the poskim, disagreed with this. So that's not correct. That's not called mechub lekarka. The fact that it's plugged into the wall, that's mechub lekarka. In and out. Mechub lekarka means that's really, really be literally stuck in. So many poskim, probably all the poskim, disagree with Dayan Breisch. It could be that sometimes you elect to kill a potter anyway. So we spoke about this many times in different contexts. It could be that potter for other reasons, because we're afraid to get a break and it's dangerous. Those may be other Peturim, but we're not learning really to his Kalim right now. But But that svara of that embrace that's considered mechubal karak is really a tremendous chiddush. But lemais the chazanish kind of says it. Chazanish didn't say if it's tefilas kelim. Chazanish was a different context. But what the embrace said vis-a-vis tefilas kelim, the chazanish is almost saying vis-a-vis chol Shabbos as well. So ayotz b'edvar according to the chazanish, the turning on of any electric appliance is a huge, huge problem. It's a problem on the level of deraisa. It would be an issa deraisa of bona. So the bar plugda of the Chazanish, the one who disagreed with the Chazanish in this one, was of Shlomo Zalman Arba. Shlomo Zalman wrote an entire kuntras. He wrote a whole shtickle Torah, a whole sefer almost, disagreeing with this basic fundamental premise of the Chazanish. Shlomo Zalman wrote this in his youth, and he wasn't so famous then. So this was one of his big breakthroughs. Here he's disagreeing with the Gula does, disagreeing with the Chazanish. He slowly made his way until people started to appreciate who Shlomo Zalman was at the time. But again, he wrote this a long, long time ago. So Shlomo Zalman wrote in his kuntres that he didn't think that this was really that electricity per se was a problem of bona. And one of his rayas against the Chazanish was is that when we deal with the malach of bona, it's the principle that's called derech tashmishai. Let's say, Lamashal, you're allowed to open up a door. Why are you allowed to open up a door in Shabbos? Why are you allowed to close the door in Shabbos? When I close the door in Shabbos, why isn't that called bona? If I would take a hammer and if I would add on something to the structure, that would be called bona. So when I close the door, why isn't that called bona? When I open the door, why isn't that called tzelser? When I close the window, that should be bona. Open the door should be called tzelser. No shemana doesn't know. You're allowed to open and close doors in Shabbos. So why is that okay? So there are more rights. But that's okay because that's not called derech melacha. It's called derech tashmishai. It means that's the way you use the item. Malacha is when you prepare something. Malacha is when I'm doing something to build it. When I build a house, that's called malacha. When I'm using the house, whatever is the standard way of using my bias, that's not called malacha. That's called tashmish ha-dover, the nasiyas ha-dover. That's why remember we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, that was the Ramon's marshal, why he thought that you're allowed to open up a book that has letters printed on the pages. It says library on it. So there were those who wanted to ask opening and closing the pages because they thought that was a shad of kosev and mochik. Every time you open up the pages, so you're destroying the letter, you're being mochik. Every time you close it, you're being kosev. So the Ramon disagreed with that. Ramon writes in the tshuva that the same way you're allowed to open and close the door of your house, you're allowed to open and close the door of your book. Because that's called derech tashmisha. It's called the use of the book. It's not called the writing of the book. It's not called the erasing of the book. That's the, you use a book by opening and closing the book. So Shlomo Zalman borrowed that marshal from the Ramah of opening and closing doors. And he said that when you're using a kli, the derech tashmisha of the kli is to turn it on and to use it. So he says, how can you say that the using of the kli is considered to be malacha? When I built the in the factory, that's called the binyan kli. When you're simply using the kli and the function of the kli, the way you use it is by pressing the button. So that's the same way you open up the door, by opening up the door. So Shlomo Zalman didn't think that the malacha bona was the correct malacha. Shlomo Zalman did not think you can use electricity on Shabbos. I never said that. Nobody says you can use electricity on Shabbos. There are other reasons, other potential problems. Maybe other problems. There are ice with electricity. Maybe other problems. There are bottle electricity. So there are a host of different issues with not using electricity. So nobody is going to advocate ever using electricity on Shabbos. But it's important for us to identify which precise malacha does it fall under. So it's interesting. Moshe has in the tshuva where he writes that everybody knows electricity is also, and he says it's not always 100% clear which isra it falls under. But he said it was never machlekes whether it's also mut. It was just a question of which malacha, which isra derabanan, which is deraisa, which one it is. It was never a question. But again, and the whole debate between the poskim, which potential isra it falls under, was only things that don't have lights. Things that have lights, that was never that's like nimmer forgot. But that was already, that's for sure considered to be a problem of havara. So getting back to the story, this machlokes in the Chazanish and Shlomo Zalman is not so relevant for us in terms of actively using electricity. No one today is going to use electricity, but it is very, very important because if you take the approach of the Chazanish that your starting point about all electric devices are all shalas of deraisas, so that's going to impact on shalas of Emir Yakum, about asking non-Jews to do things for you. So let's say, can I ask a non-Jew to do something, some kind of electric device for me? So is that called asking a non-Jew to do a deraisa? Is that called asking a non-Jew to do a derabanan? What's the difference? Use difference. Asking a non-Jew to do a derabanan is generally mutta when there's some kind of significant need, whether it's a makom chayla, a little bit of a, even if it's not a real formal chayla, or if it's a makom mitzvah something. So then if you're dealing with things which are only mid rabbanon, we're going to be very, very lenient in terms of a merely akom. We're going to ask goyim to do things. Again, as long as there's some kind of a significant enough of a tzerech, mitzvah something, we're going to say shvus to shvus to makom mitzvah is mutter. If you take the approach that electricity is all, everything is deraisa, then you're going to have a much, much more chomer version of a merely akom. This comes up all the time. This is very, very common about asking non-Jews to do an array of different things on Shabbos when the only thing that's involved are electric devices. So again, let's leave out the lights for a moment. It's just an electric device without lights. So then according to the Chaznish, is still dealing with the Raisa, according to Shlomo Zalman, then you would only be dealing with the Rabbana, and then you would look at it through the much more lenient eyes of a Shvus to Shvus, so to speak, with Machom Mitzvah. So up until now, we've been talking about almost like strange acts of Bona. Not Bona proper, the real bona fide Bona is the Bona of building a house, the Bona of Karka. Kalim is always a very complicated thing whenever we speak about Binyan B'Kalim. There is another aspect of Bona that the Gemara does speak about explicitly, that's Binyan B'Ochlin. The Gemara talks about the possibility of Bona on talks about the Yisra being Megabin and Shabbos. The Gemara says that if you make cheese on Shabbos, so that's a Malacha of Bona, because what you're doing is you're taking I'm going to exhibit my tremendous knowledge of the cheese making business. Well, I've told over the story, I think, in the past, and Shul, about everything I know about making cheese comes from one video. When I was learning the second Bechah Masechta Vedazara many, many summers ago, some of the sugyas of Cholav Akam and Gvinas Akam come up there. So I realized that I knew very little about cheese making. So I was in L.A. that summer. So I asked one of the rabbanim in L.A., who was very involved in kashrus. I asked him whether he had any good ideas to just give me some of the ABCs of making cheese so I could appreciate some of the sugyas a little bit better. So he said to me that there was actually an excellent video that he recommends about A to Z, how to make cheese. So he gave it to me, he lent it to me. So I figured this is a great thing for me to watch on Tisha B'Av late in the afternoon, because it's not really Torah, this part is not Torah. I wasn't learning the sugyas, but I was just learning how to make cheese. You know, I'm not learning anyway. It's late in the afternoon, Tisha B'Av, you know, you have to chatzos already. So I think, okay, good. It's the goodest time as any to waste an hour, you know, not really waste, but spend an hour watching how to make cheese. So I remember at the time, the kids were very, very little, and I was trying to keep them somewhat entertained late in the afternoon on Tisha B'Av. So they were playing with, they were playing with something, and I had this video with me, and I popped the video into the VCR, and I was all ready to watch about how to make cheese. And then this Rav who gave it to me forgot to tell me that it was a kiddie video. It was all about making cheese, but it had like somebody singing and dancing, and you know, it's like an Uncle Moshe, like a Goyish Uncle Moshe, you know, showing you how to go step by step through making cheese. So it was like jingling with meiselach, with bells, with ringing, with dancing, and it was Tisha B'Av. I felt like it just wasn't the right picture. So I watched it for 5-10 minutes, just my heart wasn't in it. Then I stopped, and I guess I never found any time later, so that's why I still know nothing about how to make cheese. So the bottom line is, but if I knew something about making cheese, so it would be a melacha b'ayin. It is a melacha b'ayin, whether I know it or not. The Gemara says that when you cause that big chunk of cheese to be made, so you built the structure. Before, and it was just the curds and whey, a little mismuffet with a curds and whey, and you separated them, and you made it, whatever it was, hocus pocus, and you turned it into a big block of cheddar cheese. That's considered to be melacha b'ayin, and that's bash, that's melacha b'ayin, even on a level of deraisa. So that sugi about Megabe, I mean, Chaya Mishum Bona, that opens up a whole world for us in terms of other kinds of things. Most of us are not in the cheese-making business. And that opens up for us other potential shadows of Bona as relates to food, and some fascinating discussions in terms of Bona as relates to food, in terms of sushi, other things, and how it may impact on Yom Tif, Toch, all kind of wild stuff. So hopefully, Mitzvah, next week, we'll try to pick up on this issue the last akuda for this binyan, the Kalim Eichlin, so to speak, but how this plays out in terms of cheese and beyond. Okay, much from the next week.
Shvutov.
Akiva.